Yeah, and we talked about industrial relations. The unions, of course, had a big role in tipping the Howard government for power back in 2007. It was the Work Choices election. Yesterday, the Productivity Commission announced it'll be conducting a sweeping review into the nation's industrial relations system. It seemed all of this emerged a little prematurely, but it is on the table now. They are going to do this big review. They'll look at everything: penalty rates, the minimum wage, unfair dismissal laws. Is there anything wrong with this? People are debating this all the time. The need to look at all of these things, and governments are terrified.
But I think we've had the debate, and the debate's been ongoing now for a decade, but no one's actually sat down and said, right, where are the strengths and where are the weaknesses of the system?
Yeah. Yesterday, the government was caught by surprise because word of the inquiry was inadvertently released online. It says it will consider the findings of the report but won't necessarily adopt any recommendations. Business groups have welcomed the review. Kate Carnell is the CEO of the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. She joins us on the line now. Kate Carnell, good morning.
Good morning.
Kate, thanks for joining us. You've welcomed this review. What's wrong with our current industrial relations system?
Look, there's a whole range of things that are wrong with it, but that's not surprising, you know, because I think we'd have to accept that the world's changed over the last 20 years or so. You know, there's shifting demographics, we're getting older, there's new technologies, there's different ways of conducting business. We now have a seven-day-a-week culture, you know, we go out for meals on Sundays, we get a haircut, we do other things that once upon a time you would have never done. So what's important is to have an industrial relations system that reflects modern workplaces and also the workplaces of the future. And that's what we hope the Productivity Commission is looking at, a way of having an industrial relationship system that reflects the way we live and the way we work.
I mean, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of it, because this is where it's going to rest. Penalty rates.
Yes.
Now, for Sunday and night work, do you want to see them completely abolished?
Look, we don't. What we've been saying is that we don't think that there's a difference any longer between Sundays and Saturdays within the way we live. They are both weekend days, and we think that Sunday penalty rates should be the same as Saturday. Now, what that means in essence is that in a number of awards, Sunday penalty rates can still be as much as double time. Saturday penalty rates are usually somewhere between time and a quarter and time and a half. So we see that, yes, there's still a difference in the way, in our culture, between weekends and the week and weeks, but Sunday and Saturday are the same, and so that's what we'd like to see. We also think that people should be paid penalty rates if they work more than, you know, 38 hours a week or 37 and three-quarters hours a week. So if you work more than the standard number of hours, whenever that is, you should be paid penalty rates. If you work unsociable hours, you know, if you're working midnight till dawn, that's absolutely fine. But where we've got a problem is nowadays we want to, and we do as a community, go out, we shop on Sundays, we go to restaurants on Sundays, we want services on Sundays, you know, such as hairdressers and other things. The problem for small businesses, and it's predominantly small businesses that open, is that they simply can't afford it.
We had a very interesting email earlier from one of our listeners, Brett, who wrote in and he said, I don't have any problem with doing a big review, looking at minimum wages, penalty rates, and I agree we should do it. But on one condition, that everyone is included in the workforce, not just the easy targets of the hospitality industry. And he said, last year he was given the schedule of rates from a hospital and doctor for his wife if she was to give birth outside of normal hours. The difference in cost for the doctors and the anaesthetist between normal working hours and after hours was thousands of dollars. So would you like to see, you know, the medical community and others included in this? He wants to see banks open on Saturday and Sunday.
Look, absolutely. Look, this has got to be broad. It's got to be broad-ranging, and it's got to reflect the society that we live in and the expectations that we have as a community. I'm actually surprised at that, at your email, because regularly hospitals, so on, you know, do have enterprise agreements that understand, you know, that actually cover a full coverage of hospital hours. But for all of that, I'm absolutely confident that he's telling you the truth. But look, we've got...
Well, that's actually the nurses and the people that work in the hospital, not necessarily the specialists.
Yeah, well, you know, specialists might be a different scenario.
Oh, yeah, we know they are.
Kate, what about the minimum wage issue, which has been hotly debated, obviously, over in the US recently? Do you think the minimum wage here in Australia is too high?
Look, we've got one of the highest minimum wages in the world. That's the first thing. We should have.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, not necessarily. What we've got is a minimum wage, though, that affects all wages. So when minimum wage goes up, many awards, most awards, pick up on that and it flows through the whole system. So one of the things that that the Productivity Commission has got to look like is the whole issue of productivity in our workplace. Remember the Treasury said after the last budget, if we can't increase our productivity by 3% year on year in Australia, we're going to start seeing our quality of life decrease. Now, we haven't seen that in Australia and we don't want to see that in Australia. So, look, things like the minimum wage, how that affects wages more broadly, in other words, people on lots higher incomes than just the minimum wage, are pretty important. Also, how we address people possibly doing work experience, people in the first couple of months of their of jobs, you know, to actually get their experience up. Is there a different way of doing that to get more of those unacceptably high number of young unemployed people into the workforce? Right. That's the challenge.
Yeah. Right. Kate, can we just take out the crystal ball here, have a look into it? It looks a little bit foggy at the moment. We'll know that the Productivity Commission will come down with a monster report. There'll be sweeping recommendations at some point. But you've also got an Abbott government that's on the nose with the electorate right now. Do you really think they would have the courage to take those recommendations to the next election?
I hope both sides of politics have the courage to take the recommendations to the next election. Remember, the Productivity Commission is an independent entity. In fact, they come up with recommendations that both sides of politics don't like from time to time. But the recommendations will be about making our community more productive, but more importantly, addressing unemployment and underemployment. I think it's the responsibility of the Abbott government, and for that matter, the Labor Party, to take those recommendations on board and take them to the people. We're going to see an absolute scare campaign from the union movement. We've started to see it already. Somehow this is all about work choices. The business community doesn't want work choices. We think it went too far. What we do want, though, is a workplace relations system that reflects modern workplaces and workplaces of the future.
All right.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks very much.
Kate Carnell there, Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. She might have summed it all up at the end there, the whole Work Choices Scare campaign, which the unions are going to crank up. Is there going to be any courage from a government to look at Productivity Commission report and come up with legislation or policies based on it? Do you think?
I think you can have great difficulty when you get into areas, not around penalty rates. I think you can actually massage that through. But when you start talking about changing the minimum wage, which has been fought for so courageously by so many people in this country for so many years, I just don't think you're going to get any license there.